here at the 2019 World Credit Union Conference in this beautiful place called the Bahamas. And we are here with Pippa Malmgren. And you were the former economic advisor to President George W. Bush.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Wow. And then now you are the founder of H Robotics. So tell us a little bit before we get into, and you were the keynote here today, but before we get into your keynote message, tell us about your experience being the former economic advisor to President George W. Bush.
Oh.
And then being the founder of H Robotics. So give us a quick summary on
okay.
that.
Okay, well.
Exciting life, my gosh.
Well, it was a particularly exciting time when I worked for President Bush, and we had initially 7 of the 9 largest bankruptcies in American history in 1 year.
That's right.
Enron, Tyco, WorldCom, remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
And so I worked on those issues, and then we had 9/11, and we handled terrorism, rest of the economy in addition after that. But one of the issues that I had was credit unions.
Yeah.
Because I had all the whole banking and financial system.
Right.
And I remember the banks used to come in and they used to, you know, beat me up about taking away the tax-free status for credit unions. And I'm like, what, you guys can't take a little competition? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand credit unions have a very significant role in the economy.
Yes,
and
do.
There's a level of trust that people have
mm-hmm.
with their local credit unions
mm-hmm.
or their corporate credit unions that I don't think is easily replaceable by a bank. But at any rate, they're here and they're a very good part of the economy. And I've made a big leap myself because I'm an economist, so I'm interested in broadly what's happening in economies. But I decided a few years ago to make the leap and be mm-hmm. part of building the economy instead
okay.
of just talking about
good
it.
Good for you.
And so I'm manufacturing commercial drones. But what I was explaining today was my commercial drone experience is just teaching me about data gathering,
mm-hmm.
because that's effectively what drones are really about.
Pretty
People
much.
Think they're about delivery for
yeah.
pizzas
yeah,
or
exactly.
beers, but
yeah.
it's not really about that. They're really about gathering data that gives you much clearer view of reality than we've ever had before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I said to the audience is, imagine we're in a world where literally quadrillions of data points are being gathered all the time, creating almost like a invisible or holographic a collection of data points
mm-hmm.
that forms literally like a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to learn enough about technology to be able to conjure forth answers from that crystal ball
mm-hmm.
and to understand it's a place of radical transparency
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
And people have to get used to having much more transparency involved in all their transactions.
Oh, no doubt. And the credit union industry, like most other industries, is going through an incredible digital transformation
incredible.
Right now, and it's moving at the speed of light, and it's not going to get any slower, as they're saying today. It's only going to get faster.
Well, in fact, that was part of what I was saying is, you know, I have a lot of people in audiences and they say, well, I don't really do tech. And I'm like, okay, then tech is going
to
do you, right? This is the bottom line. It's not an option anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's essential. It's necessary. And now the competition in the digital space is so severe. And I talked about Facebook's new Libra currency,
mm-hmm.
even though the SEC has said that may never be launched. But it's important to understand who's trying.
Mm-hmm.
And another area is people think of digital currencies only as Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
and there are more than 1,500 different versions of it. But what's really interesting is governments want to launch their own crypto. And in fact, just today, on the day of the conference, the government of Kenya announced their intention to launch a sovereign crypto.
Oh.
But China has said they want to do it. The European Union has said they want to do it. I think the British are thinking about it and
mm-hmm.
quite expert on the subject. And then the US, we're all going to go to that point.
Right.
And that's a very different world where the nation runs the crypto,
mm-hmm.
not private entities.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that's going to work? Because
I think it's actually going to work in one sense very, very well.
Okay.
Basically, governments want more visibility of what's happening in the economy.
Okay.
And if you
yeah.
do this digital approach,
mm-hmm.
every transaction becomes visible.
True.
And it
True.
Will also change the way the tax system works, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So taxes will start to be collected at the point of transaction rather than waiting for annual returns
and things like that. Right, yeah,
yeah. yeah. It's more immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the whole thing shifts the balance of power as well. Between states and citizens,
mm-hmm.
between companies and customers,
mm-hmm.
And we need to think about the governance arrangements in the new digital space.
Because of the transparency of it all? Is that how?
Well, if you're going to, for example, understanding if government knows so much about you
right.
and your behavior
right.
and then has the ability to influence behaviors,
right.
then this question of, okay, what's appropriate, not appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
But same thing, companies. Companies know enough about you. They know exactly where your emotional hot buttons are and when to sell you a refrigerator or when to sell you ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And is that appropriate or does that cross the line? There are lots of questions that arise in this new space.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does do overall, it makes payments and finance and transactions much easier.
Oh, and that's what we're all looking for.
Yeah.
But we're on this balancing act of the convenience and the ease.
Yes.
But then there's the security aspect of it all as well. And so, and that's where crypto comes in too, again, with the security aspect.
And again, that's why one of the things I raised today was Peter Drucker, the very famous management guru.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said, which I think is so worth thinking about, is every 3 years you should ask yourself, how would I be doing what I'm doing if I weren't already doing it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How would I, if I had no skin in the game and I was just starting from scratch, how would I do this?
Right.
It's a super hard question to ask because you may say, you know what, we're doing it all wrong and we need to do it in a completely different way. And it's so hard to abandon your infrastructure and the commitments you've already made. But the fact is, new players will appear that don't have any legacy overheads. And so, especially in such a fast-moving space as finance and digitization of finance, this becomes a really important question. How would I be doing it now if I didn't have a past history of doing it in a particular way?
And I think that's a lot of what a lot of credit unions are asking themselves right now because of this transformation that's going on right now. So I think, man, you're spot on that. So what did you want to leave the audience with today? Was there like a plan of action? Was there a call to action, something to get them moving in the digital direction?
I did say you don't have the option of opting out of technology. This is not available. So you have to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different ways you can get in. One of them, I said, you just read Wired magazine.
Yeah.
And very few people read it. I mean, I asked the audience. A few hands went up, but not many. And I'm like, okay, you got to read Wired. Because this is where you begin
nice
to understand
plug for Wired.
The breadth. Sorry, hi, Wired. But it's where you begin to understand the breadth and the speed of the technological change.
Yeah.
Second, get involved. Actually use new apps, play with these things so that you get more familiar with them. And my last thing was more an exercise in imagination. Imagination is quite important in a fast-moving environment like this. If you can imagine something, it's more likely that you can create it, manifest that. And so one of the things people right now are stuck in is a belief system that definitely the world markets are going to fall apart. For sure, we're headed into a meltdown.
Okay.
I hear that everywhere in the world, I hear people really preparing for the meltdown. Nobody preparing for a melt-up. And actually, we're in a period of history which I think will rival the Industrial Revolution and probably surpass it. But yet everybody's preparing for a meltdown. And so I just ask the audience, just go with me a little bit. Just let's play with this idea of use our imagination and think about the possibility that what you're least prepared for is a melt up.
Yeah, yeah, because I think the opportunity.
That got an applause.
It did. Good job. Wow, they were down the hall too.
No, I mean during the talk it got an applause.
There were some people down there clapping too. So yeah, I see that, having said that, I see there's the opportunities are endless.
It's endless.
What's going on right now?
That's the thing. To prejudge it and to say, I already know how this is going to end, how is that possible?
Right, yeah, you don't know.
You don't know. None of us know. So therefore, the possibility it might end well is still there.
Indeed. I think it will. I think it will. But you just got to act.
I think one of the reasons people don't as well is it's fear. And one of the things I talked about was people assume that robotics and automation equals unemployment. Because that's the current sort of zeitgeist.
But you're right.
I look at it and I go, well, the first proper robotics tool was introduced in 1804. It was the Jacquard weaving loom for making fabric. And everyone thought that's the end of employment, right? And actually, we've had nothing but more robotics, more automation, more efficiency gains ever since. And what's the end result? If I look around the whole world today, record level employment in most economies.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but most of the big ones, China, the US. So robotics, automation don't equal unemployment, but what they do equal is change. So everybody has to change. I didn't have a chance to say in my talk, but you know, PwC and the big accounting firms, they often put out reports saying, you know, this percentage of the population will have to change because of automation robotics. Mm-hmm. And they'll say 40%, 60%. I say, nonsense, it's 100%. 100% of all humans will have to change. On the other hand, is that so bad?
Not at all.
Not at all. Maybe we're going to get to change and do much more interesting work. Mm-hmm. Let the computers and robotics take care of the dangerous, the dull, the dirty stuff. Okay, and then leave space for people to do much more creative work that only a brain, a human brain, can do, and a robotic brain can't.
Right. And look at the organizations that don't change. Can you say Blockbuster?
Yeah.
Can you say Tower Record, that type of stuff, you know? So the proof is there. So good stuff. Pippa, anything else? Any final words of wisdom for us out there?
Thank you so much. That was it.
Thank you. Okay, cool. Thank you, Pippa. Pippa Malmgren. And what's the name of your company again?
H Robotics.
H Robotics. Drones. Ooh, interesting. All right. Very cool. All right. There she is, everybody. Thank you.